northern Rome. Said, I therefore, and I love this, the prisoner of the Lord. He didn't say anything about being a prisoner of Rome. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. His point is that I'm here because the Lord wants me here. I'm here because the Lord allowed me to be here in this prison cell. When he wants me out of the prison cell, I'll be out of the prison cell. Wouldn't that be great if we could have that mature of a faith in God? That in any circumstance we find ourselves in, we would still understand that God is in control. Amen. And that if we're in a situation, he's with us in the situation, and he's going to help us to get out of the situation. Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel, and he understood that he'd done nothing wrong. Now, if you're in prison for stealing chickens, that's another reason. Amen. God will still be with you if you repent, but that's your own doing. But Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. So he said, I was doing the right thing, and I'm in here for doing the right thing. God's with me, and when he gets ready to get me out of here, he will, and God did. Paul was delivered from prison for a term, and then he was put back into prison the next time he was delivered. It was to heaven. Amen. It was a shortcut to glory. Amen. But Paul saw himself as a prisoner of the Lord, not a prisoner of his circumstances, not a prisoner of life's difficulties. He was not discouraged, nor depressed, nor disappointed, but he understood, I'm here in the will of God. So he says to the church at Ephesus, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The vocation, the calling with which you're called. The purpose for which you're called. Amen. The identity for which you've been called. And we have a calling tonight. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. If you have come to Jesus Christ, it's because he brought you. You did not one day just wake up and decide, I'm going to go find Jesus today. You cannot do that. God is everywhere, but God does not manifest himself everywhere. If God does not choose to make himself known to you, you will not find him. We can only come to God when he chooses to reveal himself to us. And thank God he does that. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that the Lord revealed himself to you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that the Lord has revealed himself so that we could know him. And he called us to himself. That's what the church is, you know. In the church, the word iglesia means called out ones. That's what it means, called out ones. The Lord called us out of some things, and he called us into some things. It's not just, and some people look at it as leaving things behind, but you also are called into some glorious things. It's not a negative thing. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts and can and can'ts, but it's a call into something. Amen. Hey, what I found in Jesus Christ is a lot better than what I left in the world. I'm here by choice tonight. There are no fences around God's kingdom. You don't have to stay. Somebody said, if you don't like it, the world will take you back, and they will. Amen. But you know what? We're here by choice tonight. Because I found something better. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I like righteousness, or I like being right. I like peace, and I love joy. Amen. In the presence of the Lord and the Holy Ghost. So I found something good tonight. I intend to stay. So the Lord called us out of the world into his great presence. And because of that, Paul says, you need to walk worthily. I know when I was growing up, we used to sing a song, and that was the title of it, Unworthy. Unworthy am I. And that's true. I think we need to feel a sense of our unworthiness. and His worthiness. Amen. But not to the point that we don't feel that we have any worth, because we are in Christ now, and that is our worth. We are children of God, and that is our worth. Praise the Lord. We are not what we once were, but we have now a greater responsibility toward righteousness and goodness, because we have been changed. So Paul said, you need to walk worthy of your calling. You remember that portion of the 23rd Psalm when David said, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See what he's saying? He said, because I'm one of His, He leads me in righteousness because I bear His name. And one of the first accusations that people hurl at Christians is when we do something wrong, what's the first thing they say? I thought you were a Christian. Now, other people can say that and get away with it, but you can't. Other people can do the same thing and get away with it, but you can't, because you bear that name. And that's just, that's fair. If that's right. Because we are His. Thank God. We have a higher calling, don't we? We're called to a higher responsibility. We're called to a higher calling than others because we name the name of Christ. And it's well worth it. But Paul said, because you're called a Christian, walk worthy. Walk worthy. Amen. It's a challenge tonight to do this. And it helps us when we think before we act. And remember, you know what? I'm not just representing Johnny Grissom anymore. I represent Jesus Christ in this matter. I represent the Church of Jesus Christ in this matter. So I'm not standing alone. I represent everything that's good on the earth. I've got to do right here. I can't just act like I want to act and do what I want to do and be like I want to be, right? Is this okay? Because I'm part of the body of Christ. Amen. How many believe that if you cut your finger, that it affects the rest of your body? Anybody ever notice that? Did you ever hit your thumbnail and did you notice how the rest of your body responded right away to that? It started hurting all over? But it's just your thumb. That shouldn't bother the rest of you, right? But it does. Because it's one body. And what I do affects the body, and what you do affects the body. I hear people say sometimes, well, I'll do what I want to. Well, you're going to affect the body if you're in the body of Christ if you do that. Because we're a body. Amen. Isn't that right? That's true. It's what the Bible teaches, that we are all one body. So when we do good, it brings credit and honor and glory to the body. If we don't do good, it brings, bad to the body of Christ. And so we want to avoid that. And so Paul says, I want you to walk worthy. Then how do we walk worthy? What are the qualifications, or the prerequisites of walking worthily? First of all, verse number 2, he said, walk with lowliness or humility. Walk with humility. Well, we live in a world today that has so little humility in it. There's much of pride, much of vanity, much of braggadocio, much of blustering, much of being puffed up and proud. But there's very little of humility. And Jesus Christ brought true humility to the world. Now let me take a moment here to define what we mean when we say humility. Humility is not thinking little of yourself. That's inferiority. If you don't feel like you're good, and you don't feel like you're worthy, and you don't feel like you amount to anything, that's not humility. And that's not good. You remember what Jesus said the second command was? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. So if you don't think much of yourself, you're not going to think much of your neighbor. If you don't think you're any good, then you're probably going to not think your neighbor's any good. So thinking little of yourself, that's not humility. That's inferiority. And inferiority, let me tell you what's wrong with inferiority. You know what the motive of inferiority is, or the center of it is? It's about self. It's thinking of yourself. That's what separates inferiority from humility is self. When I act of inferiority, it's because I'm thinking about me. Poor me. I'm not any good. Poor me. I can't do anything right. Poor me. Feel sorry for me. Poor me. You see? That's inferiority. But humility, on the other hand, is not based in selfishness. It just doesn't really think about self at all. It's not concerned about self. It just thinks about getting the job done. It thinks about promoting Christ. It thinks about promoting my brother even ahead of myself. It's not thinking about self. Now see the difference in humility and inferiority? It's just, you're not worried about self. You have crucified self. You've been able to put self under. Now let me tell you, this is a whole lot easier to talk about than it is to do. Amen. But Jesus Christ came into the world not thinking about himself. He never put himself down. He never belittled himself. He never talked bad about himself. He just went about helping others, didn't he? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He preached the gospel to the poor. He was always helping others. That's humility. And you know what? He was happy doing it. He didn't heal somebody. Now, see what I did there? See how great I am? Isn't that wonderful what I did for you? No, he didn't do that. He didn't think about himself. It was always just about helping and blessing and doing, and there was joy in there, and there's power and there's strength in that. And when you understand that kind of service, it's awesome. Jesus one time said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And you know what that was? That's the joy that comes from doing the will of God and blessing others and doing good for others. If there's one season of the year that we understand some of that, it should be around Christmas time when you're thinking about others. Well, as an adult, you should be. Amen. You're not so worried about what you're going to get as what you're going to give, right? Amen. You get to that point where you realize you're mighty blessed. And sometimes my daughter and my wife ask, "What do you want?" Well, socks. what more can a human being need? Anybody else kind of feel like you're pretty blessed here tonight? Kind of got everything you really need in the world? Amen. And just pretty blessed person. Thank God. Don't need a whole lot. Amen. It's a great thing. The humility then is not thinking little of yourself. It's just thinking about others. The thing about humility that's really awesome is the very word was coined by the Christians. There was nothing like this in the world before Jesus came. People just didn't live like that. Hallelujah. So because people started living in this selfless, Christ-serving, God-glorifying way, they coined a new word for it. And they made up a word, praise the Lord. And so that defines them. It brought a virtue to the world that the world had not known before. And thank God for humility. So you want to walk worthily? Just walk with humility. Amen. Always giving glory to God. Amen. Giving glory to God. And then he said we walk in meekness. Meekness is a perfect balance. Now, one of the hardest things in life is to do everything in balance, not do too much. You know, you can, as a Christian, you can actually get out of balance in your service to God. That's right. Amen. You really can. If you spend so much time in the service of God that you forsake and don't take care of your family, is that balance? If you can not take care of your children that's not balance in your life. You've got to do both. This is meekness. It's when you serve God enough, and you're serving your family enough, and you serve your brothers and sisters just right. That's balance, isn't it? You pray enough, and you praise enough, and you worship enough, amen, and you give enough, and you do everything right. That's meekness. It's perfect balance. You're never too angry, and yet you're angry enough. Somebody said, I never get angry, then something's wrong with you. If you read about evil doing against the innocent, it doesn't anger you, something's wrong. I think Jesus got angry, didn't he? Bible said he did. When he walked into the temple and he saw all those people out there selling goats and sheep and turtle doves and oxen out in the courtyard of the temple, man, it made him angry. When he saw money changers in there making money off of the kingdom of God, it made him so angry. The Bible said he got him a bunch of cords and put them together, went to kicking over tables and driving out animals and hollering at them. My house shall be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. You vipers, who shall save you from the wrath to come? I'm telling you what, it wasn't a win friends and influence people moment. Amen. He was angry. And we ought to be angry about the right things. That's what humility, or that's what meekness is. That's when you're angry about the right thing, but you're not angry about the wrong thing. Amen. I'm talking about a perfect balance here in life. And that's what meekness is. It's perfect balance. And it also means perfect control. I love to watch animals that are trained. I've trained my dogs to do what they want to do. That's about the end of my training. Maybe they trained me. Hey, I haven't done a real good job of that, but I sure do like them. And guess what? They like me too. Amen. You know, I think we could learn something from them. We've got this little chihuahua at our house, And you can walk outside and be gone 5 minutes and come back in. Boy, she's at the door, just so glad you're back. She's just shaking all over. Her tail's wagging, her eyes are gleaming, and she's, oh, I'm so glad you're back. And you've just been gone 5 minutes. Just went out to the car and back. But she's so excited to see you. That's genuine devotion. There's nothing fake there. That's the real thing. Amen. She's just so happy that you've come back. And boy, it'd be hard not to like somebody like that, wouldn't it? Amen. Well, meekness is, you watch a horse that's very trained. I like to watch horses that somebody really knows what they're doing, and they can make them back up, and then they can cluck, and they can make them trot, and they can make them run, they can make them stop, they can make them turn on a dime, they can make them jump. All the things they can do. Isn't that amazing? It really is. And a few times I've been and watched a whale, killer whale they call him. Amen. And make him, you know, drive. He goes around and swims. And such power. Such power. It's amazing that, you know, got him in that big pool. And I mean, when he starts really getting with it, swimming back and forth, and that huge body is motivating, that water rises and splashes over the side of the pool. That's how powerful he is. And yet people can train him to give him a kiss. Not me. He might forget his training. But those big old jaws, you know, he could crush and just like it was nothing. And he'll jump completely up out of the water, stand on a platform and get a fish out of a man's hand and leave the man's hand. Isn't it amazing? Train. See, that's perfect control. It's power under control. Power under control. That's what meekness is. Meekness. God's meek. God has the power to crush us, but he doesn't. He could. But you see, that's power under control. That's what meekness is. And so Paul said, you need to walk in humility and walk in meekness. Walk in perfect balance. Walk in perfect control. And then he said, walk in long-suffering. What does that mean? Long-suffering is two things. First of all, it has to do with patience. We love that, don't we? Amen. We work on it. And God helps us. You know the neat thing about when God, you ever ask God for patience, he doesn't send you patience. He sends you the ability to develop patience. He sends you some things to help you develop patience. Because that's the only way. You can't just get patience, you develop patience. So God sends you some things to help you develop your patience. Amen. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Because we need to be patient. Amen. We need to learn how to trust and believe and carry on. Amen. That's the other side of long suffering is you're not only patient, but you endure. Amen. It has those two characteristics, doesn't it? Some people don't make it very long because they don't have much endurance. They get weary. They get discouraged. They want to quit. They want to stop. They want to give up. They want to turn back. But Paul said, you got to walk worthily, which means you got to be long-suffering. You got to be patient, and you got to keep on enduring. Just keep going until the answer comes. You know some things that are right, and you just keep doing what's right. Well, I don't know what the will of God is for me, brother. Then just keep doing what you know to do. Keep praying. You know to pray. Keep reading the Word. You know to do that. Keep worshiping with the body of Christ. You know to do that. Keep doing the things that you know to do. Do the things that you know are right. Just keep doing that. And in time, God will reveal His will. You'll know. But just keep doing what you know to do. Then he said, forbearing one another. Amen. Forbearing one another in love. Amen. Have you ever been around somebody that really got on your nerves? Some of you are smiling. Some of you look like, what, me? Yeah, you. We've all been around people that got on our nerves. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. Amen. I might get on some people's nerves. Amen. And we know what that's like. And in the body of Christ, what do? Just forbear. I think another good word for forbearing means putting up with. Putting up with one another. Because, you know, people are putting up with you after all. And so we're just, you know, putting up with one another. Now, that doesn't mean I have people that I genuinely love. Really, I do. And I look forward to seeing them. But they do sometimes kind of get on my nerves a little bit. I'm just being honest here tonight. Is that okay? I think Christianity needs more honesty. And I don't want any fake Christians. Give me the real thing. Give me the practical stuff. Give me the rubber meets the road kind of stuff. I don't want the pie in the sky by and by kind of stuff. Just give me the real thing. Amen. And yes, the body of Christ has all kinds of people in it. And our personalities, better said, our temperaments clash. Amen. My main temperament is I'm a phlegmatic. That's a good thing in some ways. That's a bad thing in some others. Amen. But that's what I am. And two temperaments that clash a lot are people that are phlegmatic and people that are choleric. Clerics are people that know everything and everything's right, and they know it's right. And then you've got to do it their way. And you've got to do it now. And you know, a phlegmatic's kind of laid back, you know. So we're kind of like, what's the rush? And phlegmatics also really know what's right. So even though a cleric tells me it's right, that don't necessarily mean it's so. So you see, we have these temperaments, and they're real, and they clash. Amen. And then you've got people that are melancholies. What's a melancholy? Well, the melancholy was traveling with a sanguine. Now, that's opposites. And the sanguine said, "Woo, woo, look at all those beautiful yellow flowers." He's so excited. Look, beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? Wow, look at that. And so the melancholy looks and said, "Yeah, but they've got weeds in them." You see, we need people that can see weeds. And we need people that can see the flowers. We need both. Clerics are people that see the big picture. They really do. They're the ones that devise great and wondrous plans, and they see these things and they get it started, but then they get weary with it and they're ready to go on to something else. And so they have to leave it up to the little phlegmatics to get it done. We all work together in this thing. But because of that, there are clashes. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Does this make sense to anybody? You know, it's not that you don't like somebody, it's just that they're different than you are. Their temperament sometimes will grate on your nerves a little bit. Amen. I went through a time when I was struggling, having a hard time in a lot of things, and I didn't know then what I know now, some things going on, but I was really, really, you know, in a battle. And everybody I would talk to, "How you doing, brother?" "Fantastic!" Then I'd ask another one, "How are you?" "Oh, fantastic! If I was any better, it'd have to be two of me." And I'd get so sick of hearing that. I said, "Isn't there anybody in the world that's not fantastic? Am I the only person on the planet that's not fantastic?" I'm not, you can tell, I'm not one of those fake it till you make it people. I don't believe in being fake. Amen. Praise the Lord. How are you doing? Well, God's good. Enough said. Amen. Praise the Lord and go on with it. Just be realistic in life. But you see, some people can't do that. They just, and because of that, we have clashes. And so the Bible says that we forbear one another. We're one body. Everything in life. You know, the eye has a job that the ear can't do. And the mouth has a job that the hand can't do. And the heart has a job that the feet can't do. Everything in your body has a purpose. Amen. And something as simple as hair on your head has a purpose. Something as simple as hair on your nose has a purpose. Everything on your body has a purpose. And we may not know. I've heard people say, well, what do they call those? Vestigial organs. I had my appendix removed years ago, and they told me it was a vestigial organ. It was left over somewhere from back when I was developing from one kind of creature to another one. And so it just stayed on there. We don't know why. Well, I'll tell you this much, what I know about an appendix. If something goes wrong with it, you will know it. Now, I don't know what it did before they took it out, but I know how it felt before they did, and I know how it felt when they did. And shortly thereafter. I know that. And so there are parts of the body that I really believe we need everything that's in there. I don't think God put any extra stuff in the body that you don't need. Now, you can do without some things, but I promise you, you'll do better with two lungs than one. Right? And you can get by with one eye, one ear, one arm, one leg, but it sure is nice to have both. There are some things you can do without. And in the body of Christ, God put every person in the body of Christ for a reason. Everybody is here for a reason. I said, everybody is here for a reason. Amen. So, therefore, we forbear. Everybody's here for a reason. Everybody's equally loved. You know what the neat thing about God is? He doesn't have any favorites. I know that's hard people believe, but he doesn't. The love of God is without partiality. Now, people, it's hard not to have favorites, but God loves everybody. And he loves everybody equally. He paid the same price for everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all have different starting points in Christ. Some of you that are here tonight, you may be third, fourth generation Christians. You've been around this a long time. You know all about it, right? You know. You've got the jargon and the lingo. And I mean, you know it all. And you know a lot of people. You got this long Pentecostal pedigree. Praise the Lord. Great. Others didn't do that. I mean, they just come first generation, just barely got in the door. But you know what? God loves the one that just got here just as much as the one that has a great, great, great granddaddy that was a pastor somewhere. Not any difference in the kingdom. He loves them equally the same. Amen. Let me tell you this. God's going to have more patience with that new one than he is with that one that's been around a while. Now, if you don't believe that, you just read the New Testament. Jesus was real easy on sinners trying to get in the kingdom, but he was real hard on Pharisees trying to kick them out. Wasn't he? Amen. Yeah, he was. He was pretty tough on those old boys. Amen. And so he said, we learn to forbear one another. How do we do that? In love. Amen. We used to sing an old song that said, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. What? Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Right? Amen. That's how we do it. You learn how to just love everybody. And you know what? I really believe tonight that I can say that. Amen. George Glass Sr., great man of God, somebody came to him and said, Brother Glass, do you know what your enemies are saying? He said, I don't have any enemies. And they said, but Brother Glass, they're saying bad things about you. He said, I don't have any enemies. You know what? That's what he meant was, I love everybody. They may not love me, but I love them. Amen. They may talk bad about me, but I love them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that possible? Yeah, that's possible. Jesus Christ did that, did he not? And if he did that, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing as well? We're supposed to love like Jesus loved. Amen. And he said that we're forbearing one another in love. And then he said endeavoring. Everybody say endeavoring. Endeavoring. That means making a diligent effort. Endeavoring to keep. Endeavoring, he said, to keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's another thing that we have to make an effort to do. And we have to make an effort to do that. Effort. Not everything in the kingdom of God comes effortlessly. Not everything in the kingdom of God comes easily. Some things we have to make an effort to do. Anybody notice that? I'm glad you're here tonight. Now, some folks obviously didn't make the effort, but I'm glad you're here tonight. Amen. You came on anyhow. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad you did. And I'm not angry at those that didn't. I'm sure they have good excuses. Amen. But with some things we have to do with an effort. Some things we have to do with great diligence. Amen. There are times I can't wait to get to church. Amen. And there's times it takes an effort to get to church. Is that honest enough for you? Amen. There are times I just get here and, man, I just can't wait till the piano hits the first note and we start singing. And other times, you know, it's a sacrifice of praise. Amen. That's right. Sometimes, you know, life's like that. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. But the good thing is you're consistent. You endeavor. You press on. You persevere. You're long-suffering. You don't allow anything to get in your way. You press on. You press through. Amen. He said, we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. That is that there's one Spirit, the Bible said. Now, I'm not going to have time to get into that. But there's just one Spirit tonight, isn't there? That's the Holy Ghost. Everybody in the church, when you got in the church, everybody got the same Spirit. Amen. When God filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, everybody got the same Holy Ghost. I preached that one time and somebody didn't believe it. I said, huh? You think God's got different kinds of Holy Ghost? No, He doesn't. Amen. When that prodigal son came back to the father's house, he said, I'm going to give him the best robe. The only kind of robes in God's closet are best robes. God doesn't buy a robe for one at Neiman Marcus and the other one at Goodwill. The only robe God has is the best. The only Holy Ghost God has is one kind. God doesn't have one kind of inferior Holy Ghost for one kind of person and another kind of Holy Ghost for another kind of person. Well, Brother Grissom, what makes the difference and why do some people do so much better than others? It's not the Holy Ghost they get. It's how much of them the Holy Ghost gets. God gives you all of Him, but sometimes people don't give all of them to Him. Those that are holding on to self and not letting the Holy Ghost completely have control, they're going to have more struggles. Those that give themselves over completely to the Spirit of God, they're going to excel quickly. Amen. And so we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. There's just one Spirit. And that one Spirit has the mind of Christ. It knows what needs to be done. It's moving in a certain direction. And so if we're in the unity of the Spirit, then we're all kind of on the same team. We've used this example before. The difference in a fellowship and a battleship. You know the difference? A fellowship, everybody's rowing together. A battleship, they're all rowing different directions and swinging paddles at one another. That's a battleship. Amen. You got fellows in a ship and they're all rowing together. That's a fellowship. You got fellows in a ship and they can't agree. That's a battleship. Amen. And so, but when you are all in one mind and one spirit and one accord, that's unity. And we're moving the direction that God wants us to go, and we're headed in the right direction, and that's what God wants us to do. And He said, in the bond of peace. Amen. Praise Him. When you have unity of spirit, you have peace. When you don't have unity of spirit, you don't have peace. Amen. Isn't it beautiful to have peace? Amen. This is such an important object here tonight, is to have unity of the Spirit in our church and our individual lives. You know, even our own individual lives, we can be at odds with the Spirit of God, can't we? The Lord's trying to lead us one way and we're trying to go another way, then there's a problem, there's a conflict. We're not happy. We're not at peace for sure. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Amen. Peace is one of the great virtues that let you know that you are in the will of God. If something's going on in your life and you're doing something, or you're wanting to do something, or you want to do change some things, and you're not sure about it and you're real disturbed about it, then most likely you're at odds with the will of God. But when you yield to the Spirit of God, then you will have peace in your life. Amen. So it's important that we find that peace and that that uh, that oneness with the Spirit of God, that He can lead us in the right direction. Amen. That's how we walk worthily. Amen. Now let's stand together tonight. There's a lot to this, isn't there? So we walk in humility, and we walk in meekness, perfect balance and perfect control. We walk with long-suffering, that is, with patience and endurance. We forbear one another. Amen. Now there's an interesting place here in the Scripture, I believe it's in Ephesians, and it's in just a few verses apart. You remember some of this when I say it, maybe. Do you remember the part of the verse that says, bear ye one another's burdens? Bear ye one another's burdens. And then a few verses later, it says, let every man bear his own burden. That sounds almost contradictory, doesn't it? What's the difference in me bearing my burden and then my brother not bearing his burden? The difference is in the English, the words are the same. It just says burden. But actually in the Greek, it's two different words. So what it's saying is let everybody carry his backpack. That's the one. Let every man carry his backpack. But then the other word, when you bear one another's burdens, it means a great big burden. It's a whole other word. It's a load that's too heavy for one person to carry. And sometimes in life, we have burdens that are too much for us to carry. Anybody ever had one of those? It's just too much. You just, God, I can't carry this by myself. I've come through a lot of things, but I don't know if I can make it through this one. And then somebody comes along with a prayer and with a word of encouragement. And they lift you up, and they help you carry your burden. And that burden that you could not carry alone, and suddenly you find that you can, with the help of the Lord, with the help of your brothers and sisters, you can carry that. That's the value of the body. Amen. Sometimes we can't make it by ourselves. There'll be things that'll come along. Now, a lot of life, you can walk alone. But there are other times in life that it's too much. And you got to have some help. God will come on the scene. He'll send a brother or sister alongside. And with that help, we can make it. Amen. We need one another here tonight. We need one another. Yes, we do. Amen. Oh, you're my brother. You're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. Together there is love we can stand. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, you can stand. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. Together we will work. Hallelujah. Hey, I think it'd be good tonight if we'd just stretch out across the front of this building. Amen. Just come and take somebody's hand. Amen. Let's everybody know you're not alone here tonight. There's somebody with you. There's somebody standing here that loves you. There's somebody that's willing to help you lift up your load. There's somebody that's willing to help you carry your burden tonight. You're not struggling all by yourself. Amen. But there's somebody tonight that wants to help you.
Amen.
Oh, when we're walking side by side, as long as there is love, we can stand. Hallelujah. Take me by the hand. Together we will work till he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we can stand. Amen. Lord Jesus, tonight, you know every individual in this building. And you know the exact circumstances of their life at this moment. You know the burdens that they are carrying. You know the load that has been placed upon their shoulders. And I ask you tonight, as the paraclete, the comforter, that you would come alongside to help them to bear the burden, to carry the load. And Lord, if at this moment in life I'm not having such difficulties, let me help somebody. I want to help somebody else tonight. I want to be a person that I can help them carry their load. Amen. I can be a blessing. I can be a help. I can be a strength. I can be a comfort. I can be a counselor. And let me be what I can to help somebody else, because it won't be too long before I'm going to need a little help myself. So I thank you for it tonight, God. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters in the church. Thank you for this great salvation. Help me, Lord, to walk this road worthily tonight. Let me follow after my calling worthily. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you tonight. And God, I give you praise. Thank the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God.
Brother Bacon, I wanted to remind everybody that the youth is serving refreshments over in the annex and the gymnasium. Everybody's welcome to come.
Amen. Amen. All right. So I'll see you there. God bless you. Refreshments, we like. I don't know what I'm doing.